children's message. I didn't bring candy this time. I thought probably there was enough candy this last week. So talk about candy. What event just happened this last Thursday?
Halloween.
Did any of you dress up?
Yeah.
What were you, Trace?
Black Panther.
Will, what were you?
It was like a pumpkin zombie.
Black Panther.
Thanos.
A what?
Thanos.
Oh, and Sawyer, what were you?
A butterfly.
Oh. Well, so Halloween is so fun, and I had a unicorn wig on at Halloween. It's great. But Halloween is so fun because what are you guys going to do?
Eat candy.
You get to get candy.
Get scared.
Do you have to buy the candy?
No.
You get to walk around and go trick-or-treating and get candy for free. That is like, oh my gosh, the best thing is for free. Whether you went trunk or treating, did anybody go trunk or treating? Yeah. We did too. And you get it for free. How awesome is that? But you know what? The people that gave you the candy, was it free to them?
No.
They had to buy the candy, right? And they bought it thinking that so you could have something for free, so you could enjoy that. So that kind of brings me to God. God gives us something for free, and I want to read a verse from Romans 6:23, and it says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," which means we get to live eternal. So just like God, he sent Jesus, and he died on the cross, right? He did that for us so we could have eternal life for free. So I want you just to think about that and know that, yes, candy's pretty cool and awesome and yummy, but the God's message is living with God for eternal is the real message of what free is about, being free. So let's fold our hands. Thank you, God, that you paid the price for our sins, that we could be forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life. Please be with all these kids this week and bless them and keep them safe. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Volunteered. Way to go.
Volunteered.
Diane, when you play some of those songs, Just As I Am or I Surrender All, growing up with my grandpa and my uncles and everybody preaching, that was always those closing songs. And then they had an altar call. Depending on the preacher, if he thought somebody needed to come forward, we went through a lot of verses in those songs. Sometimes it was just "As I Am," verse 9, and there was only 3 verses. You know? I love listening to those old songs. It brings back such amazing memories. We are talking about the life of Gideon today and last week, and for what can we learn from people in the Bible who had God working through them. We've talked about who God is. Who's this God that we're in relationship with? And now we're talking about, if I'm in relationship with him and I'm letting him work in me, what does that look like? And we've started with Gideon. And I want to just start today's sermon by all of us acknowledging that our ways to accomplish God's will often do not even begin to resemble what God's ways are. Have you noticed that in life? That sometimes your path to get to a goal, God guides, and it looks completely different by the time you get to the end. There are a number of stories in the Bible, I think, where God surprises everyone. And this is just another one we're going to add to our list. Last week, we talked about Gideon receiving that visit from the angel. Remember, their country, the Israelites, are being oppressed by a country called the Midianites, the people called the Midianites from the land of Midian. And they were oppressing them so badly. It had been 7 years of oppression. And God allowed this oppression because the nation of Israel had turned their backs on God. They had begun worshiping idols. And God said, "I need your attention." And so he let them be oppressed. And it tells us there was nothing left. The land was just about bare. And here's Gideon down in that wine press where nobody can see him in that cave in the ground, and he's threshing grain to feed his family. And the angel appeared to him and said, "Oh, mighty hero." God's got a place for you. And I'm sure Gideon looked around when the angel said, "Oh, mighty hero," I'm sure he looked to see who's the angel talking to, because it can't be me hiding down here in this wine press. And yet we also talked about how God calls us to be brave. And bravery is not the absence of fear. It's the courage to continue on with what needs to be done in spite of our fear. And that's what Gideon does. And today we're going to take that idea a step forward and add to it the reminder of, I can move forward, but I do it in God's strength, not my own. Because if it doesn't take much effort or strength on my part, if it isn't a challenging task, how much of God's resources do I need? I may not think I need hardly any. But the truth is, God can give us very challenging things to do, but he gives us those things to do with his power. Remember, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "My grace is all you need, because my power works best in your," what's the word? Weakness. My power, God says, works best in your weakness. God's task is big, but with his strength, even when we're weak, we're going to get the job done with him. So we left Gideon. He had torn down the false idols, the place where they worshipped, and the people of the town were not very thrilled about that, were they? His dad had to defend him to the town. He'd torn down their idols, and he had rebuilt an altar to God. And the townspeople were mad. And Gideon's dad says, "Why would you kill him? If Gideon is such a good God, if he's really a true God, he can take care of this himself." And of course, he was just a piece of wood and couldn't do anything. And that's kind of where we left our story. So we are in Judges chapter 6, and we are in verse 33 is about where we left off. "Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel, crossed the Jordan, and camped in the valley of Jezreel. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power." Don't you love that phrase? You ever needed the Lord to clothe you with his power? "He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers through Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, 'If you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, I want to do a little test. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this fleece on the ground. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning and the ground is dry, then I'll know that you're really with me like you said.' So he gets up in the morning, the fleece, he wrings out a bowl of water from the fleece, but the ground was dry as a bone. And Gideon says, and he must know he's pushing the boundaries, because he says to God, 'Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request.'" Let's reverse it. "This time I want the ground sopping wet, and I want the fleece to be completely dry." And God answers that request one more time. And that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry, and the ground was covered in dew. So he gets the army together. 32,000 of them respond, which isn't a lot, considering you've got three nations you've gathered together to come against you. But he gets 32,000 people together. Well, a little bit of confidence, right? Here we go. And the Lord said to him, "You've got too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, you're going to think you did it all under your own power. You're going to say, 'Look what a great victory we achieved.' Ha, didn't need God, just us." He said, "So here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the men, whoever's timid or afraid can leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 go home. Okay, so you look around. Now there's only 10,000 of you. All right, you know, well, okay. 10,000 doesn't even fill up a football stadium, right? It's not like you've got a huge army to go fight with when you're down to 10,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, "Oh, there's still too many of you." You know, I can see Gideon's eyebrows getting higher. What? You know, like, okay. So he takes him down to the stream, and the Lord says, "I want you to divide him into two groups. The one who scoop up water from the stream with their hand and lap it like a dog, you keep them. And all of those who get down on their hands and knees and just drink out of the stream, you send them home." Now, I don't know how Gideon stood there. Did he have them come up like two at a time? You go that way, you go that way. I'm not sure how that worked. Did he walk around while everybody did that? I have no idea. what that really looked like. But when he was done, he had 300 men that had lapped water from their hands that could stay. And everybody else can go home. I don't know about you, but when you're down to 300 and you're going into battle, that must be a little scary. Here we go. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you." I'm in verse 7 of chapter 7. "And give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night the Lord said, "Get up and go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack." So Gideon took Purah. They went down to the edge of the camp. They had settled there. Listen to how it describes them. "The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count." 300 me, all of you. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His companion answered, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, a victory over Midian and all its armies." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites." He divides the 300 men into three groups. 100 of you stand on that part of the valley. 100 of you stand over there. 100 of you stand over there. "I'm going to give you, are you ready to go to battle? Here's your equipment. A ram's horn and a torch with a pot on it." I'm sure the men were a little puzzled by this, but here we go. It was just after Midianite. Oh, he said, "Keep your eyes on me," he told them. "When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held blazing torches in their left hands and the horn in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to far away, and Gideon sends warriors after them. And they capture them all and kill them all. And thus endeth the battle with no swords.
My God is great.
Wow. Talk about a miraculous event. I'll bet you they dined out on that story for a long time to come. Why don't you come to dinner and tell us that story about that night? Yep, we're coming to dinner. Why don't you come to our house and have dinner and tell us the story? Okay, you know. They must have dined out on that amazing event for years. So let's look through what they did and see what we can learn. Maybe you've heard Christian people talk about this. You ever heard people say, "I'm going to put a fleece out before God and see what he wants me to do"? You ever heard people say that? It's kind of a Christianese term. We have a lot of Christianese terms, don't we? People go, "You're saying what? You know, what do you mean a fleece?" Okay, that's where it comes from. A fleece. I'm going to put it out as a fleece before the Lord. And it kind of sounds like a step of faith. I'm going to see what God wants me to do. But I want you to be really careful when we read these stories. Because Gideon using the fleece is not an act of faith. It's an act of weakness. God had already told him what to do, had he not? He had. He'd already had two very clear signs from the Lord. An angel with a voice who told him what to do. And he put that offering on the rock of the broth and the bread and the meat. And the rock had set fire up from the rock to destroy the offering. Burnt it to a crisp. He'd already had two miraculous events where God had said, this is what I want you to do. And the fleece was not necessarily an act of faith to discern God's will. He already had heard God's will, had he not? How many of you would like to have an actual voice from the Lord who would stand next to you and say, here's what I want you to do, Patty?
Or text.
Ding! Up it comes. Wouldn't that be great? Jesus talked about this. Because to be honest, as humans, even if we hear a direct voice, it doesn't always move us into the camp of faith. Jesus walked around for 3 years doing miraculous things that people observed again and again and again. Nobody before him had gone around and touched people and said, you're healed. You're healed. You're healed. Your son is raised from the dead. Here's 5 little loaves of stuff. We're going to break that and feed 10,000 people. Nobody had ever done that before. And it did not move people to faith. Some people, yes. A lot of people, no. And when he got to the end of his ministry and they said, you show us a sign to show us that you're really from God. How many signs do you think they needed? Because I'll tell you, a direct voice from the Lord doesn't necessarily move you into a camp of faith. Choosing to trust is that. It's a choice of faith. I am going to choose to have faith in a situation that seems scary. Gideon and his men didn't know the end of the story. Once you've read those stories, you go, oh, of course they could do it. I don't know about you, but me and 100 people standing there facing an army of camels, I can't even count the camels, let alone the people, isn't going to necessarily inspire me with confidence. Now, when I get to the end and see what God does, that's different. But it's a choice to be faithful. Those 300 men who stood there to be faithful, despite overwhelming odds, that's a choice. Jesus told Thomas, blessed are you because you've seen me with the nail-pierced hands and the scar on my side, and now you believe. He said, but blessed are those who believe in me without having seen me. And that, folks, is called faith. Sometimes we just have to step out in faith. So what do I learn from Gideon's story that really touches me? We can be victorious for God even when our resources and our skills seem totally insufficient for what you hear him calling you to do. For the record, Gideon had no training as a general. He had no training in leading men. For 7 years, they've been oppressed, but before those 7 years, they'd had 40 years under Deborah the judge, and they had had peace in the land. They hadn't necessarily been training to go to war. Gideon didn't come from West Point and say, all right, gather around. Let me tell you from my vast experience what we need to do here. He didn't have any skills. What's that saying? God doesn't always call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He hadn't had a lot of training, but he stepped out in faith. So he raises an army of 32,000. He's ready to tackle it. He must have a little bit of courage. Lesson number 2. The elimination of some resources I've gathered may not make much sense to me. It may be a total remake of the plan I've made, but I can still trust God. Gideon had that plan revised at least twice. Gather everybody up. Nah, just tell them if they're scared they can go home. Whew, there goes 2/3. Okay, I've got plan B. We're on to plan B. I'll let the rest of them go. Keep 300. Oh, now we're on plan C. Sometimes I look at an event that's ahead of me or something I need to do, and I see obstacles or something that looks negative as a reason to stop. The elimination of resources or pieces to my plan doesn't necessarily mean I'm moving in the wrong direction. Gideon was moving in the right direction, and God kept eliminating resources. Because when I get to the end, who have I relied on to accomplish all that? I've relied on God. I'm sure that Gideon believed he'd been carrying out God's plan when he started it, and as the numbers dwindled, he must have wondered, what are you doing? This is crazy. Have you ever said that to God? This is crazy. What are you doing? I'm trying really hard to do your work. This isn't going very well. Just because resources have been eliminated or obstacles come in the way doesn't mean you're not in the right path. If the Apostle Paul had taken every negative thing that happened to him as a sign that he was on the wrong path, we would have no New Testament. Because things got really bad for Paul really fast. Really fast. Just because some of the things we're relying on have gone away doesn't mean you aren't walking in the right direction. Which brings me to my third thing. Things might feel they're going to get a little crazier as you move forward to follow God. Not only have some of the resources been eliminated, you keep walking with God, you keep listening, and he reveals more of his plan, and you go like, you want what? That's the adventure. The more I get to know this God, the more I engage in relationship, the more he's going to open the doors for me to see and do things for him. And sometimes it just may seem a little crazy. Jill going to Haiti, her husband thinks is crazy. There's still that hope. There's still that hope for Ron. Sometimes, just because it looks scary, scary crazy, doesn't mean you aren't still moving forward to follow God. In fact, if you never feel any resistance, if you never feel any opposition to what you're doing, the devil may not need to be moving you on the wrong path. You may already be on it. The time you feel resistance sometimes, not always, this is what walking with the Lord looks like and asking him questions. The devil doesn't want you to go down a good path. He doesn't want victory for God. So if you're feeling resistance, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's just a sign that you're walking the right way and something wants to stop you. God tells Gideon the victory's going to be yours. You and those 300 men. Woo! But he is remembering, I want you to hold this in your heart. God never rebukes Gideon for struggling with this. Do you notice that in this story? He never rebukes him. He encourages him. And that's a heart thing between us and God, isn't it? Okay, I heard what you said to do. I'm trying to do it. Here I go. Oh, I'm feeling kind of shaky. God doesn't go, well, all the nerve. God responds to encourage and strengthen. He even goes beyond the call, really, because Gideon knows he's pushing the boundaries, because he says to God, please don't be angry with me. Can I get one more sign? Now, I'm not advocating you keep going to God and saying, one more sign. I heard what you said. Do your kids ever do that with you? I want you to take out the garbage. Can I do it later? No, do it now. How about after? No, do it now. Can I just, no, do it now. I'm not advocating push the boundaries, but I am telling you that we have a God who understands our weaknesses and our failings and is there to encourage us even when we're low. Because he answers Gideon every time. And as a last thing, he says, if you want to be encouraged, go down and listen. Now I want you to notice something. Gideon goes down to listen, but even that act itself took courage. I want you to take you and your servant. I'm sure Pura was like, oh, good. That's what I want to do. I want to go down with you, sneak down into the enemy camp, and eavesdrop? That sounds safe. That's another crazy plan, right? When you get on the ride with God, sometimes it's arms in the air, you know, going down the roller coaster. And they sneak down, and they get to listen. God lets him listen. And much like the people in Jericho who said, this town, we know you're going to take over our town. We've heard of your God. Apparently Midian had too. And while the Israelites may have forgotten all that their God had done, apparently the Midianites had not. Because they said, God has given the victory to Gideon, and Gideon gets to hear that. I'm not sure what kind of strategy that would feel like. Hey, you're the general. Would you go down to the enemy camp and just sit by one of their tents and listen in? I'm sure that's not taught in the strategy courses. But God lets Gideon go, be brave, and listen. And he gets to hear, yet again, encouraging words. And I want us to remember one more time that this is where Gideon's faith and his courage really shine through. Because they didn't know the end of the story. Can I remind you of that? When you stand there and you face that challenge and you think, this will never work, this will never pan out, what am I thinking? Raise your hand if you've ever thought that. What are you thinking? And Gideon steps out anyway in faith. Do you remember the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? And they're going to find that the cup of Christ, right? And they get down to the very end, they're in that cave, and he's got that little book of his dad's, right? And he comes to that great chasm, and he can see across there the way in, and he stands here, and the lion's head. Remember that? A step of faith from the lion's head, and that's going to make you victorious. And all he can see is that great chasm. And he's standing there in the lion's head, and what does he do? He just goes like this, okay. Puts that foot out there, and then he steps. I remember right underneath him is a rock walkway that he couldn't see. It blended with the ground. And he steps out, and he stands on solid ground. And sometimes that's where we are, taking a leap of faith from the lion's head into what looks like a great chasm. And you be brave in spite of the fear. I think encouragement on my journey to follow God can come from some really unexpected places. Has anyone ever tried to calm you down by saying, they're more afraid of you than you are of them? All right, yeah. We've said that, right? We've been there. And that's what God lets Gideon hear. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. God offers reassurance rather than a lecture to Gideon, and he'll do the same for us. God will continue to prove himself faithful as we move forward. Gideon didn't get to sit in the camp and hope it would all work out. Every time he had to keep stepping forward and keep stepping forward and keep stepping forward. And every time he steps forward, God proves himself faithful every single time. And God continues to encourage Gideon as he takes on one task after another. Leave the wine press and destroy the altars, and he's safe. Gather the men. He's not a general. He asks, they come. He puts out fleeces. God answers. He has battle night jitters, and God encourages. And I want you to know that God knows exactly what you need to be victorious in your walk with him. And he promises to be there to care and encourage, just like he did for Gideon. God causes everything. It's on the front of your bulletin. He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. All those things that don't make any sense, someday we're going to see them woven into good. Next week we're going to talk about how do I hear God's will. Sometimes that's a little confusing, isn't it? We're going to talk about that next week. But for now, may I remind you of three things. We can be victorious even when your resources seem limited. And you can trust him when those limited resources start to get even smaller. And you can trust God to support, to encourage, and to lead when you're on that journey. I had an uncle who was a preacher who would say this sentence, and I think it stuck with me since I was in high school because it resonated. He said, never doubt in the dark what you know God revealed to you in the light. Gideon has that moment with the angel. God reveals what he wants done. Gideon knows it. Never doubt in the dark when you're down to 300 men and some horns. Never doubt in the dark what you know God revealed to you in the light. And next week we'll talk about knowing what's the light. What did God say? Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we want to follow hard after you. We want to do your will. We want to be faithful. We want to be warriors for you. We want to know that we can lean into you and know that you're going to be strong and faithful and leaning right back into us. Thank you, Lord, for those promises. May we never forget them. We are grateful to be your children and your servants. And it's in your Son's name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Before you're standing, I would like to, one more time, this one will be separate. If you would like to donate to Ron and Monica's church in Petaluma, we'll just pass that back around from one to the other. That's fine. I'll sit over here. If you'd like to, that would be awesome. If not, that's fine as well. Maybe after Central Church and Jill will send one to over there. I want to make sure we're helping people around our area that are doing hard things. All right. It is Potluck Sunday. We want you to stay. We want you to come down and visit with us. Tomorrow night, again, starts Ladies Bible Study. I have the books up front. They're $10 a piece if you're interested in that. And hooray for Sunday. Will you stand, please? My prayer is that as you face whatever battles you have this week, that you will know that God is battling right alongside you, right there with you, and you can use his strength and trust in him. Go today in the love of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.